This is the Sunday evening service at Trinity Bible Church, September 20th, 1981. The ordination service for Mr. Gary Custis to the gospel ministry.
Father, truly we have gathered together tonight to ask your blessing, to seek your face. And Father, as we contemplate the work that you've given us to do, to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that without you we can do nothing. And yet as we see the great blessings that you have bestowed upon us and the gifts that you give to your church to build up and to edify and to strengthen, we rejoice in your goodness and in your greatness. And we pray that no man will get glory tonight, but only yourself and your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. 278, Jesus, with thy church abide. 278.
Jesus, with thy church abide, be her Savior, Lord, and guide. While on earth her faith is tried, we beseech thee, hear us. Keep her life and doctrine pure, grant her patience to endure, trusting in thy promise sure, we beseech thee, hear us. May she one in doctrine be, one in truth and charity, winning all to faith in thee, we beseech thee, hear us. May she guide the poor and blind, seek the lost until she find, and the broken hearted bind, we beseech thee, hear us. Save her love from growing cold, make her watchmen strong and bold, cleanse her from thy peaceful fold, we beseech thee, hear us. May her lamp of truth be bright, bid her bear aloft its light, through the realms of heathen night, we beseech thee, hear us. Arm her soldiers with the cross, brave to suffer toil or loss, counting earthly gain but dross, we beseech thee, hear us. May she wholly triumphs win, overthrow the hosts of sin, gather all the nations in, we beseech thee, hear us.
I want to welcome each one of you here tonight on this occasion, giving thanks to the Lord that we can ordain Gary Custis for the ministry. And we want to tell you what the service is going to be. We're going to have a word on behalf of Trinity Bible Church, a word from Mr. Chuck Heil on behalf of Hillcrest Chapel, a charge to Gary from the pastor, a response from Gary, and then a prayer of ordination and dedication. And following that, we will have a communion service, which you're invited if you love the Lord and are following him. And after our service in here tonight, we're having a reception, and you're all invited to stay and encouraged to stay and greet Gary and greet one another in the name of the Lord. We'd like to recognize especially those who've been attending Hillcrest Chapel that have come here tonight for this service, and wonder if you folks would mind standing tonight, and we can all be sure we especially greet you folk. Okay, very good. Thank you. You're especially welcome. I won't take time for our usual announcements. If you're interested in those, you can pick up a tableau in the foyer and read through that and be much in prayer for the ministries of the week. The Lord has blessed us, but he wants us to pray. He exhorts us to pray, and we need to do that. Now let's turn to 494. Whenever we consecrate one of our number to the Lord, it's a good opportunity for each one of us to examine our own hearts and our own relationship with the Lord. And we ought to take that opportunity, I think, to dedicate ourselves to the Lord as well as the person who is being formally recognized. This is 494, Jesus, Master, Whose I Am.
Jesus, Master, whose I am, purchase thine alone to be. By thy blood, O spotless Lamb, shed so willingly for me. Jesus, Master, I am thine.
God the Father is making Christ all in all. And he is really the focal point and the summation of our ministry. Let's sing number 116. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 116. It's a great privilege to be able to speak on this occasion on behalf of the elders and the congregation of Trinity Bible Church. Early this year, God called out and established a local church in this area for a unique purpose. We believe that God has stirred up men and women in this church, Trinity Bible Church, by the Holy Spirit to boldly proclaim the whole counsel of God and to diligently seek to live and to work according to the Word of God. The Lord has been gracious in the people that he's brought to us, his blessings, the avenues of ministry. And he's blessed our own hearts as we've heard the Word go forth with power. On June 16th this year, the elders' meeting discussing some of the purposes of Trinity Bible Church made this following resolution. It's called a resolution concerning a ministry of preparation. We feel called to establish a policy for equipping men for the ministry by offering training and experience. We resolve that in accordance with the mandate issued by our Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to every creature, we commit ourselves to establishing ministries and ministers as the Lord enables. In light of this commitment, we will call faithful men to serve with us to gain experience in the ministry of Trinity Bible Church in preparation for their future ministry as the Lord leads. And at that time, we also called Gary Custis to minister with us as an assistant pastor at Trinity Bible Church. We presented that resolution to the men of Trinity Bible Church, and they also assented to it. Many of us have had the opportunity to know Gary Custis for quite some time, some of us longer than others, really from childhood right down to the present time. The Lord has blessed him. The Lord has given him a ministry among us for several years. And we have seen evidence in his life of God's blessing and God's hand upon him and upon his ministry. I was thinking about that, and We don't presume to give glory to anyone but God, and yet we're commanded in many places in Scripture to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, to let his mind be in us, to seek to be like him, and we have that wonderful hope that someday we're going to be like him as we see him as he is. But you know, Luke gave a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity, and he said, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus was growing up in a human sense. It's an amazing thing to think of, the Lord Jesus growing and maturing, increasing in wisdom and stature, not only physically, but emotionally, and all the things that encompass humanity. And favor, this is the word grace. The grace of God was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think there's a sense in which we've been able to see this in Gary as well. This really should be our prayer as fathers for all of our children and for all of the people at Trinity Bible Church, that we should grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. 2 Peter 3:18 instructs us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul tells his son in the faith to meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. Profiting, that's your maturing, that's your going forward. That's what the Christian life is all about. We believe that God has used us in preparing Gary for the ministry in some way. And we know that Gary has been used by God in our midst as well. And so the elders of the church, and I think the church by consensus, has felt that here is a man that God has laid his hand upon. God has called for the ministry and has gifted for the ministry of the Word. But you know, not only has God been preparing Gary for the ministry, for further ministry, but he's also graciously been preparing a place of ministry for him. First of all, he placed in our hearts the desire that we could reach out and perhaps have other ministries. That's why I read that resolution. The ministry of preparation. That young men could come and be here and grow and minister here and then move out as the Lord leads and establishes and carry on a work. And while these things were in our hearts, as it were, this spring a man came and visited us and expressed a unity of doctrine and like faith and mentioned to us that although he knew that we were just getting started, that he wondered if it had ever crossed our thoughts to stretch out and minister in another area. And as we listened, this was Ferris Huggins, and he had a long association with Hillcrest Chapel, and I have some connections that way myself, and our ears pricked up, and our eyes opened, and our heart quickened, and we just rejoiced at the goodness and the leading of God. And during the ensuing months, we've had an opportunity to get to know some of the people at Hillcrest, especially Chuck Heil. We really have had a growing relationship and a good fellowship together. And I was thinking the fellowship that John speaks of in 1 John. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we've really had times of fellowship that way. And Gary has had an opportunity to minister there, and the Lord has been working in all of our hearts to make this seem like it's God's leading. We heard this morning, as the pastor spoke, that the Lord opens doors of ministry. And we believe that the Lord has opened this door for Trinity Bible Church and for Gary, Martha, and the twins. So we're full of joy and expectation and thanksgiving. So on behalf of the elders and congregation of Trinity Bible Church, we'd like to offer for you, Gary and Martha, and the congregation at Hillcrest Chapel, this prayer of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 3:12 through 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Chuck?
Thank you very much, Darrell. That was an interesting perspective that you brought just now, because though we've come to the same place in time, we look at it slightly differently, but only in God's way. While you were busy forming your church fellowship, and while the Lord was busy preparing a place for you, Gary, he was, from our point of view, busy preparing someone we could fellowship with, because we've been waiting for a long time. And we were struck this morning, at least I was, as we sang together as our closing hymn from Hillcrest Chapel, a paraphrase, which you have in your hymnal, of Psalm 133. And it struck my heart again, how rich a blessing this is, how long we've known it, and yet sometimes how long between times of fellowship it can be. And this is the psalm. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like a precious oil poured out on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And we're excited by the prospect of increased fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're excited with the blessings that the Lord has given you here. Particularly, I think we'd all agree tonight, in fact, I doubt that no one from Hillcrest Chapel would deny that we're here tonight as a result of a very clear miracle of the grace of God. It's certainly by his power and his power alone that we are together this evening. But as Gary has given a brief history of Trinity Bible Church, a brief history of Hillcrest Chapel is in order, at least from a perspective that shows you that our paths have crossed many times before. As some of you may know, Gary has alluded to this. We'll get a little bit more particular in just a moment. The work which was to become Hillcrest Chapel was begun in the summer of 1923 with the formation of a community Sunday school in West Portland. That's quite a while ago, over 50 years. For over a decade, the school was conducted in private homes and in a rented building under the name of Hillcrest Bible School. The present property was acquired beginning in 1936, and almost immediately a building was begun, and Hillcrest Bible School was incorporated with the state of Oregon. Today, over 50 years from the inception of the work, a bell from the first grade school in West Portland still rings over the chapel on Sunday mornings, just before the ministry of the word. And people remark as we meet them in the community that they hear the bell. They know that the chapel is there. During that time, there was much support of the work by people whose names you know. Names like Dr. John Mitchell, people from Multnomah School of the Bible who were faithful to help in the ministry there. In 1948, West Hills Christian's grade school was begun in Hillcrest Bible School's basement. So that gives you some ideas. That organization celebrated, well, actually it's over 30 now. Isn't it, since the beginning of that school? In 1958, Hillcrest Chapel was incorporated as a church fellowship to supersede the Bible school on the premises. A regular Sunday preaching ministry had been begun about 10 years prior to that time and was accompanying the Sunday school activities. The chapel enjoyed the service of a full-time pastor from the mid-50s to the early 60s when a schism separated the leaders and membership for over a decade. The extent of the work and the numbers in attendance was severely reduced, but continued in the care of an elder. And then eventually, as that elder resigned to move elsewhere, there was no one in a leadership at the chapel at all for some time, over a five-year period. But the Lord was blessing, and there was some healing occurring as fellowship was restored among some of the people who, at the time of the schism, had gone their own way. We knew that due to the uniqueness of our doctrinal position and because of our financial condition, the Lord's intervention would be necessary in the form of a miracle. And we praise the Lord that early this year, to take up where the recounting was made just a moment ago, the Lord saw fit to begin this work. And we are very encouraged that we have had excellent fellowship both with the elders and the people whom we've met from Trinity Bible Church, but with Gary and his wife as they've ministered in our midst already. And we rejoice at the prospect for further fellowship. Indeed, we're excited with the prospect of what the Lord is doing in the west side of town as well as in the east side. We shared Friday night as we had an opportunity to meet, and Gary reaffirmed this morning as we were discussing just briefly before the ministry that the Lord is clearly working a work. You know, it impresses me. We don't know any more about that work than we knew 5 years ago that the Lord was preparing someone to come to minister to us. We had doubts, we had worries, we had fears, but through all those things, God worked in His sovereign power miraculously, and here we are tonight. And we praise His name, as I'm sure you do. Thank you very much.
It's my responsibility tonight to give Gary a charge. I imagine that he feels that I've been charging him most of my life. We started out when he was very young, and speaking as a father as well as a pastor, this is a very, very special time to me, and I hope that if I overstate anything tonight, you'll attribute it to the fact that I am Gary's father and have great occasion to be just thankful to the Lord from the depths of my heart for what the Lord has done in his life. And then when he brought Gary and Martha together, why, that just increased the blessing. And I know that he has in Martha one who's going to be 100% by his side in the support of his ministry, however the Lord may lead in the days to come. There's a passage of Scripture that I perhaps could say a little more strongly than the Apostle Paul did when he was talking about Timothy. And there's one verse in particular. I'm not going to use this basically for the charge tonight, but just by way of my own personal testimony regarding these years that Gary and I have been associated together in the ministry. And I'm thinking of that statement whereas Paul was preparing to send Timothy to Philippi, he says this in verse 22 of chapter 2 in the Philippian epistle, "For you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel." And I can really say that about Gary tonight. Gary graduated from seminary in 1977, and we've been associated together in the ministry ever since then. And I've just never had anyone that I've worked with in this capacity who's been a greater joy and delight to me. And we've been through the fire together, and I just feel sure in my own heart, very, very sure in my own heart, that the Lord brought him as support and encouragement during all of those years. And in that sense, I hate to see this relationship come to an end, but I'm very thankful that the Lord has opened this door of ministry to Gary, and I'm thankful that he's going to be ministering each week, and I know that this is going to be good for him, and it's also going to be a blessing to the people at Hillcrest. And Chuck, I can say that we are rejoicing too in the way the Lord has led. And we're going to be praying for the Lord's richest blessing upon the ministry that all of you have together over there. The time that Gary comes to the ministry is, as I believe, a very wonderful time in the history of the church. I believe that we are seeing God do something in these days, reviving truths that have been neglected, and it's just a personal joy to me as a father thinking of Gary to know that these truths are very, very precious to him, truths related to the sovereignty of God in his work and in salvation and in the lives of his people, and all the truths that are usually recognized as the doctrines of the grace of God. And it just seems that throughout our country and even in other parts of the world, you see what God is doing to bring back to the surface and bring to the attention of the Lord's people these wonderful truths having to do with the grace of God. And Gary and I have had tremendous fellowship with each other, as our whole family has, in the doctrines of grace. And we believe that these are truths worth living for and worth dying for if necessary. But it's wonderful to know that these truths are in his heart, and I feel that the elders and the men are well satisfied that not only that Gary has a good grasp of the truth, but that the truth has been affecting his life and will affect his ministry in the time to come. It's a little difficult to know just where to turn in Scripture to give a charge. I think I've told Gary everything I know, and probably I've even gone beyond the limits of what I know sometimes. But I'd like to ask you to turn tonight, as I talk particularly to Gary and to Martha, to Acts chapter 20. And I want to borrow the charge that the Apostle Paul gave to the Ephesian elders. This is a very, very wonderful section of Scripture. Paul was taking leave of the Ephesian elders, and they knew that they were not going to see him anymore. And so he charges them from his own ministry. Now, I'm not going to do that tonight, because I hope Gary will go far beyond me when it comes to the ministry. But I want to just touch on some things, and I say these to you, Gary, knowing that you understand most of these, and yet perhaps in these few moments together we can all see the importance of the things that Paul was talking about to these Ephesian elders. First thing that I want to charge you with tonight, as far as your ministry is concerned, is the need for humility. Paul says in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And perhaps one of the times when you will be endangered by the tendency toward pride as you begin to see the Lord using you more and more. But I know that you have great reason to be humble, because you're a member of the Custis family. And the reason that you don't have more than you do have is because your dad doesn't amount to any more than he does. But one of the things that the Lord honors in his servants is the remembrance that we're just sinners saved by grace. And always remember that when you see the hand of the Lord blessing you, that He always blesses us in grace. He'll always bless you far beyond what you deserve. And therefore, he is the one who is deserving of all of the praise. And if you remember, as you preach the gospel and as you teach the word of God, that you are serving the Lord, and the high and holy honor that God has bestowed upon you in this relationship and in this ministry, then I'm sure that you too will know what it is to serve the Lord with all humility of mind. The second thing that I would encourage you as you begin your ministry at Hillcrest and has to do with the word tears. Here in verse 19, and you see it also again in verse 31, when he said he not only served the Lord with all humility of mind, but with many tears. And in the last part of the 31st verse, watch therefore and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. The different reasons that a servant of the Lord sheds tears. I know you've shed tears already in the ministry, but I trust that the Lord will always give you a tender heart, and that as you engage in the warfare that we all are engaged in as the Lord's servants, that you'll never fail to speak the truth, but you'll always speak the truth in love. And as you minister to your people, and as you seek to win others to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I trust that your heart will remain tender toward people and tender toward the Lord, and that you'll know in your own personal experience what it is to weep over people, that they might come to know the Lord, or that believers might walk more pleasing to him. The third thing that I would say to you tonight from this passage is that you be faithful. It seems that this is really the main thing that the Apostle Paul says, because he speaks of faithfulness in so many ways. For example, he says in verse 20, I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. In verse 27, he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You've already learned in your ministry that not all of the truth is popular, and people don't always want to hear the things that God has commissioned us to preach. And so, regardless of the circumstances that you may be in, I charge you to be faithful always in proclaiming the Word of God. And remember that it's your first priority not to please men, but to please God. And to look forward to that day when you stand in the Lord's presence and have Him look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Be faithful to all that the Word of God teaches. Be faithful even when you are tested. God is giving you a congregation of people who want the Word of God, and you can be thankful for that. But it may not always be the case. We don't know how the Lord is going to lead or where He's going to lead in the years to come if he tarries. But regardless of the circumstances, remember that the Lord wants you to be faithful in proclaiming the doctrines of the Word of God and exalting the grace of God, and remembering that the Lord will take care of you regardless of what the circumstances may be. Be faithful to your people. And when Paul speaks in verse 28, you'll notice that he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of God, over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed. And this means to shepherd. You're going to be a pastor, and a pastor is a shepherd. and it's your responsibility in these coming days to shepherd the people of Hillcrest and to shepherd the people of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And then I would exhort you also to be diligent in your ministry. Laziness has defeated many men in the ministry. And it's interesting to see how Paul talks about his ministry when he says in verse 20, I have showed you, I have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And those who sow bountifully reap bountifully. And I trust that you'll always be as diligent as you have been in the ministry of the Word. Paul also says in this passage that a servant of the Lord needs to be careful. There are going to be many ways in which Satan will seek to trip you up. Paul mentions, for example, the problem of money in this passage, and of servants of the Lord who set their hearts on that which they are going to receive. And it's here that Paul reminds these elders that the Lord Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But the tempter will come to you in many ways, as you already know. And we can never let our guard down. And several times in Paul's writings, he uses the words which he uses in verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. And remember that one of the dangers that you will face in the ministry is the danger of ministering to others while you neglect your own relationship to God. And may I encourage you to be faithful in reading of the Word of God for your own soul, and not just in preparation for the messages that you will give to others. Be faithful in prayer. Recognize your daily need of the Lord, and put your confidence in Him, and know that the Lord is going to be faithful to you. And then as Paul concludes this, in verse 32, he says to the elders, and you can see that this is in the form of a prayer, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And so I would encourage you to be faithful in praying for your people. Someone has said, and I don't remember who, that it's more important to know how to talk well to God about your people than it is to talk to your people about God. And I trust that as your ministry goes on, that you'll know, and Martha will know a great deal about being in the secret place, being on your face before God, pleading with God for his blessing upon your ministry and in the lives of your people, that his will and his purpose might be fully accomplished. Perhaps, Gary, the one thing that I ought to say to you tonight, and I say this from my heart, I'd be very glad to have you as my pastor. And I want to pledge to you my prayerful support. I give thanks to the Lord for what he has done in your life and in Martha's. And I just, as I think of you and your ministry, I've asked the Lord to let me be a faithful supporter of yours in prayer. And I have prayed for you daily, and I'll continue to pray for you daily. And when the blessing falls on your lives together and increases, nobody's going to be more thankful than I am. Lord bless you.
It's easier for him to sit down than for me to stand up, I think. When I graduated from Dallas Seminary 4 years ago, I was persuaded that God was calling me into the ministry, and I, in feeling His call upon me, I evaluated what He would have for me to do. And it seemed that the Lord was calling me into the ministry, and therefore I determined after graduating from school that the best thing perhaps for me to do would be to come and study under a man who I respected and whose ministry that I felt was most in line with the scriptures and how the ministry is to be carried out. And so it was my desire to come and work with my dad, and I perceive then and now that he is a godly man, and it's my desire for my ministry to be patterned after his. Excuse me. I've learned many things in the past 4 years, and perhaps one of the most helpful things that has been for me to learn is that the ministry really is the Lord's, and He uses His servants, but it's His ministry. And that's why the Word of God is so important. It's not what I have to say, but it's what God has to say through His Word. And my responsibility is to accurately proclaim those truths and to stand behind them with my life. And that's what I've determined for my ministry. And I desire to be faithful in proclaiming God's Word. But I also recognize that in the ministry, that unless the Lord empowers the Word as it goes forth, that the ministry really is in vain. And the ministry is the Lord's, and it's my desire to serve Him, but it's my desire to have a ministry that is filled with the Holy Spirit, that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and directed by Him. And so that's why the ministry of the Word of God is so crucially important. And I've come to see that in the past 4 years. I knew it in theory when I left school, and yet when I've come here and ministered alongside my dad, I've seen the importance of accurately declaring the truth and declaring it according to the Word of God, and all else is really in vain. And so my commitment now for the future is to continue proclaiming the Word wherever God would lead me. And I'm very thankful that the Lord has opened the door for me to go to Hillcrest Chapel. And I'm excited about what God is going to do there. And I don't want this service to be too much of a send-off, because it's not quite that easy to get rid of me, because I still have responsibilities here with Trinity Bible Church. And my primary responsibility will be at Hillcrest. And I want to be faithful in the ministry of the Word and in God's ministry, wherever that ministry is. So, having heard the charge to me, I ask you to pray for me. And I ask you to pray that the ministry that I engage in, be it here at Trinity or at Hillcrest Chapel, will be a ministry that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and directed by Him, and that I will see the Lord's blessing, not because of what I do, but because of what He does through us as we minister together. So continue to pray for me. Thank you.
We gather for prayer. These men are the elders of Trinity Bible Church, and I can also say it's been a joy that has been unsurpassed in being able to work with these men, and especially to see their genuine interest in Gary and their support of him and their desire to have him as a part of this work as well as to ordain him to the ministry of the gospel. And we've asked Martha to come and kneel with Gary tonight as we have a prayer of dedication, committing them to the Lord. And I trust that you'll respond to Gary's request and not let the praying stop here, but continue to uphold Gary and Martha as the Lord leads them and blesses them in the days to come. Before I pray, let me read these words. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Shall we join together in prayer? Dear Father, as we come tonight to commit Gary and Martha to Thee for the work of the ministry, we do so, dear Father, with great joy in our hearts, because we recognize that in your sovereign grace and will, you have laid your hand upon them and set them apart for the work of the ministry. And Father, we call upon Thee because we know that You are the only one who is sufficient for them. And we pray, dear Lord, that You will continue to bless them and to lead them on in their understanding of the truth, that they may be an example to the believers, that they may give themselves with great faithfulness and diligence to the work that You have called them to do. And we would pray, dear Father, that the great desire of their lives throughout their ministry together may be that You would be pleased and that Your will and purpose might be accomplished in their lives. We pray, dear Father, that You would increase their understanding of the Word. We pray that You'll give Gary great boldness in declaring the Word of God. And yet may there always be a tenderness in his ministry toward Thee and toward people. And we pray, Father, that Your blessing may be poured out upon him, that the Spirit of God would fill him, and that he might be blessed far beyond anything that any of us can anticipate tonight, and all, dear Father, to the praise and to the glory of Your grace. And Father, we pray that You'll strengthen them and help them in times of discouragement, in times of testing, in times of special need. And we pray, dear Lord, that these may be times when their relationship with Thee would be deepened and enriched, and when they would learn more of Thy faithfulness than they could learn in any other way. And as we commit them to Thee, we remember the children that You've given to them. We pray for Katie and Will, and we pray, Lord, that as these dear children grow up, that the Spirit of God would work in their hearts, and that their lives may be what Gary's life has been in my ministry, not a contradiction, but a support and a testimony. And Father, we here at Trinity take great joy in setting apart these dear children of Thine and trust that Your blessing may abound in their lives, that You would keep them and bless them and use them, and may they ever keep before their own hearts that one day they will stand in thy presence, and may the great desire of their lives be to have your approval to your glory in that day. We commend them to thee, and we pray, dear Father, that your blessing may abound in their lives in every way. In our Savior's dear name we pray. Amen.
We have a Bible to present. It says on the outside, Gary Custis, W. Custis, and on the inside, ordained to the gospel ministry, September 20, 1981, by Trinity Bible Church of Portland, Oregon. This is an authorized edition, red letter. We give it to you as a token of our love and our concern and a pledge of our support and prayer. And, of course, it is the Word of God, and it speaks of the living Word, which unites our hearts.